Now entering Nerdist.com.
I can't believe that fucking... I still can't stop thinking about the Bob Durst documentary.
Haven't watched any of it.
It's so good.
Yeah. You're all done? You watched it last night?
Yeah.
You got the big wow that everyone's been talking about?
It really was a big wow.
Yeah.
Wasn't that surprised much? I was surprised by how it played out because it feels like the things that he did.
Spoiler alert for Jinx.
The things that, well, I'll tell you what. I will try not to.
No, it doesn't matter. It's in the news now.
I know, but I'll try not to spoil too many key things about the series so you can still enjoy the series. Obviously, he was arrested.
It's enjoyable, however much information you know.
But I will say this. There are things that he did in there that if you saw it in a scripted movie, you'd be like, that is so are you kidding me? That's how he got discovered?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That's what I've heard.
But it really happens. It really happens.
This is my, from an outsider, not having seen any of the show.
Lay it on us,
Jonah. My problem with it is, so the day after the season finale of a docuseries, he gets arrested?
It was the day before.
It was the day before.
Yeah.
Kind of suspect. I'm sure they finished editing that episode months and months ago.
Well, that's the focus of a Gawker article that sort of gives you the timeline. And they say, like, well, why? They say to the director, Andrew Jarecki, who did Capturing the Friedmans and
started Movie Phone.
They say there's their eyebrows raised, like, oh, well, if you had this evidence, you had this information, I mean, you shot the movie between 2010 and 2013. Why wasn't that presented? And actually, I don't know what the answer is.
I don't know what the answer is.
They put out a statement saying that they had given the evidence up before.
Oh, okay.
So they had given that tape up.
Wait, so you're saying that the Los Angeles Police Department was slow to act on something?
I don't know. I just, because I was reading
it. It wasn't the Los Angeles Police Department, right?
It is the Los Angeles Police Department. Because it's based on, the arrest was based on the murder of, it was a murder that happened in L.A.
Okay, but he's also being detained for a murder that happened in Louisiana, right?
No.
He was just
there
in
Louisiana.
There
are new charges, but there are new charges in New Orleans, and I haven't seen what those are.
Yeah, because the FBI got him. He was in New
Orleans. Essentially, he kills a whole bunch of people. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. If you don't want to be friends with him, because if you're friends with him, you end up dying.
You know, I heard he has like a real bad tell, only because my friend posted a little clip from the movie Dirty Work, the Norm Macdonald movie, where he's like, this is what it's like when Durst is lying. And it's the scene in Dirty Work where it's like, he's like, I could always tell when you're lying. It's like, do you like baseball? Yeah. Would you ever do this? No. Did you have a crush on this guy? No.
Yeah. He blinks a lot.
Yeah. That's what I hear.
He blinks a lot and he rubs his face and there's something that he does. Yeah, like when they present him in the last episode of the documentary, they present him with his evidence and it's so, it's irrefutable proof.
Yeah.
And he almost throws up. Like he does this thing where he starts burping and he looks like he's about to throw up. And it's so crazy to see someone in the moment that their body starts to react before they can say anything.
Oh,
where he's like, you know, but he still like sort of plays it off. I don't know what that is.
Oh,
he sounds like Gary Marshall.
He does. Yeah.
He sounds like Gary Marshall, but the whole thing is fascinating. And also just kind of watching, you know, because the director forms this kind of friendship with him in a way.
Yeah.
And so he feels, even though he knows that it's absolutely the right thing to do and that the guy's a piece of shit, he still feels a little weird. And he also then starts to become afraid of him. So it's kind of a strange.
Oh, wow.
It's so well done.
Why do you think he agreed to
it? No one, because
he's that, like, because he thinks
he didn't
he can
agree
get away
to it. It was his idea.
Jesus. He thinks he's that unstoppable.
Yes. When they caught him the first time in Texas for a murder, he was on the... Did they catch him in Texas? They caught him in Galveston?
They caught him in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I'm sorry. They caught
him
in Pennsylvania. He was on the run. And the reason that he got caught is because he had $37,000 in his car and $500 in his pocket. And he fucking steals a sandwich from a grocery store.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he's like, I don't know, I just felt like stealing. It's almost like he wants to be caught, or he wants to show that he's above everyone or smarter than everyone. And so he goes out of his way to be in the documentary. He goes out and if he hadn't done the documentary, he would never have been caught.
Yeah, so that's what I think. I think he just, and he wants, like, all the, that's the thing with the serial killers, like, they all want some notoriety from it, right?
Because I don't know if it's that he's a serial killer.
I don't think he's a serial killer.
He's killed multiple people.
I think it's a methodology. It's not that he's killed a lot of people that makes him a serial killer, because he's not, I don't think he's doing it in a compulsive way. It's just people who get in his way disappear.
Yes.
So I think it's more like, you know, like the mafia aren't serial killers. They just, you know,
good
like,
point. It's just business.
Just business. And so for him, it's just sort of a business, and he thinks he's.
But why does he do it? If he has all the money in the world, why isn't he just getting someone to do it for him?
I don't know. You almost kind of get the sense that he might have multiple personalities.
Oh, really?
I didn't get that.
You didn't get that?
No, I thought he's just a loopy Jew.
Great name for a band.
What? You didn't get my loopy Jew comment?
I was saying that I turned it off.
Am I twisting the microphone situation? Thank you, Katie, for riding the number. I appreciate that. You're doing a good job producing over there.
Did you just say thank you, Katie, for riding the knob?
Yeah.
That's not appropriate.
No, I think it is.
All right, Katie,
I think she knows what I mean.
What Matt just said. You know, he meant the.
You know what? It is appropriate what he said. It's not appropriate what you're putting on it.
Well, it's not appropriate that you're pointing out that I said it, because you're just making a big deal.
Well, I think it's quite appropriate.
Well, I think maybe it's not appropriate.
This isn't appropriate.
This is officially the Nerdist Office Space.
I feel like you're coming down on me sexually, and I
hear that you think that I'm coming down on you sexually. All I'm saying is, Jonah, I want you to take your penis out, or you're fired.
See, that's once again
what
you should. What you just said is like,
what are you talking about?
You want me to take my penis out, or I'm fired?
I'm just using street talk. It's colloquialism.
No, that's sexual harassment. Is what that?
No,
is.
No, it's not.
What you is know, it? On the street when they always say, "Take your penis out, or you're fired."
Yeah,
no, I know they say that.
But that's just how kids communicate.
I know that's
like
how kids
electric
communicate.
Daisy carnivals.
I go on Reddit. I know what it's. I know what the kids.
Bodega. You say to the guy at the counter, "I got a pack of Luckies," and hey, can you take your dick out?
I'm not saying that the kids don't say that.
Right.
I'm saying that the way you're saying it sounds like it's actually like you're coming on to me.
Well, you didn't. Jonah makes a point.
You didn't have to take your. You didn't take your dick out, did you?
Yes,
no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I did. You did. Didn't notice, and it's embarrassing.
Good. Yes, and backpedaling. No, but.
I'm still adding information, though.
Yeah. You are. It was good. It was a moderately good riff. What are you?
Moderately
up to?
Good riff.
That's the name of our sketch troupe.
Yeah.
Hi, we're moderately good riff.
All roads lead to nowhere much.
But you might have a pretty good time.
Yeah.
We'll need a suggestion. As long as that suggestion is a gynecologist's office in Dubuque.
Yeah, it's because we had something in the car that's pretty funny. So if you could just... Yeah. Could you over there
help
say
gynecologist? Welcome to Control Freak Improv.
I don't know. Maybe you guys were driving in and you saw how weird that sign is up front. You want to talk about that, maybe? Yeah. Say that.
Anything like that in that area.
Anything that involved three guys driving here earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so tired. I performed in St. Louis this weekend, which was super fun. We went to this... the venue had a curfew, so we didn't do any kind of a signing afterwards, but there was this place called Strange Donuts. They just make good donuts in town. And so I just said during the show, I was like, well, I'm going to go to Strange Donuts, And then it was great because the people showed up and we took pictures and had donuts.
I think that the people working in Strange Donuts on a Friday night were like super thrilled that the business was coming, or were they like, fuck?
No, they were. We had tweeted back and forth before. They knew that knew that I was coming, and they were prepared.
Good
and,
on you. Yeah.
And so it was a good situation.
That's cool.
We stayed.
How many dozen you move?
I don't know. I just went back to the hotel and I'm catching up on season 4 of Game of Thrones, and then I ate a bunch of donuts.
Boy, wild!
Oh, I saw that picture.
Game of Thrones.
It was like a donut, a soda, and a Game of Thrones.
It was a decaf coffee.
That's right.
And a box of donuts. and my donut process is I don't eat all of the 5 donuts. I eat a little bit of each donut to basically make up one donut. I couldn't eat 5 donuts and survive.
I'll
show you.
Yeah. I always do that thing with, when donuts are around. I was like, well, I'll cut this in half and I'll just have a little piece of it. And then I'll keep going back.
Then you're that. What the problem is, you're like, well, no one's going to eat that half.
Yeah, I'll just go back.
Like Homer's ahead.
Yeah.
I'm so moist and delicious.
Yeah.
St. Louis is interesting, but we, April Richardson, who's been opening for me, who's been crushing, we stayed in this part of town. It was basically next to a casino. And it's crazy. Like, all we went to this barbecue place maybe a half a mile away, which was amazing. It was called Smokey O's.
Nice.
Fucking incredible. I've never had baked beans before that had, it had like cinnamon and nutmeg. I've never had baked beans that had cinnamon and nutmeg and that had the flavors that strong.
Yeah.
The barbecue was amazing, but everything in the neighborhood were these burned out factories.
Oh, fuck. Right.
Just like. Like ghost town.
I don't think that's rad, Jonah. I think that's a disaster.
You know, industry moves on.
But I heard that they're going to raise them all and put the new sports stadium in there. But it's just seeing all these great... What is that funny?
Just the sentence. It just, you sounded like a guy who was just saying that in a movie where they couldn't clear the rights to an NFL team name. So
do you guys want to go to the sports stadium?
In there.
It's over there by the sports stadium. There's the big game tonight. Both teams are playing.
I'm going to put my sports sneakers on.
Just go for it.
But it's like I always have this urge to go exploring.
Really, oh yeah.
Into old buildings and old factories.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to go treasure hunting.
Those are fun. Yeah. Those are fun YouTube videos. There's like channels of dudes that do that. what do they call them? Urban explorers, I guess.
Should have known.
There's one really cool one where a guy sneaks onto the abandoned Disney theme park, Rivers of Adventure, Rivers of America. Is that what it was called? Remember that?
No.
It was closed. They used natural water, and there was an ordinance from Florida that was like, if you're going to have a water theme park, you have to use XX water. You can't use this. So Disney, instead of like going, well, okay, then we could just change all the water, they just closed the park and left it there, and the music is still on.
Oh, that's so fucking creepy.
Oh, that's creepy.
I think it's called Rivers of America. Katie will back me up on that with a Google search.
And is it now infested with alligators?
You know, I didn't see any alligators in that video, but...
seems like...
Yeah, there are alligators on the property. I've seen alligators on their golf course in Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's like... It's a real cool video. And like, particularly in Orlando, there's a lot of like tourists... Golf course
at Disney? If you're an alligator, you would fucking love a water park.
Yeah, yeah.
Like...
River Country. Yeah. God, Rivers of America was the... Is the fucking river.
What?
Oh, the lazy river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the river in
the actual river they use.
Yes, thank you.
Did you ever go?
To that? Yeah, I went to that water park when I was a kid, yeah.
So it's like river water.
Yeah, I mean, essentially think of like...
But it's always flowing through.
Well, no, it was like they just naturally... They pumped in the water from the lagoon, the Seven Seas Lagoon or something like that. I forget. Again, Katie's reading it, so she probably better.
You know, in Chico, California, they have a 1 mile dam, which is like in this park in the middle of town. There's a river that runs through the entire town, but they like blocked it off, cemented it, and then you know made it like a pool, public pool. But then they just opened it back up, so it's just a river flowing, and it has a shallow into a deep end. But it's like you can just get in on steps.
Way to go, Chico!
Yeah, it's a really cool. It's called 1 mile Dam, and it's. Really, it's a great idea. And it's like during the summer, it's fantastic.
What have you jerks been doing the last week?
My parents have been in town.
How's that been going? Oh, that's right. I got a picture in our shared picture folder of your parents.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
How's that been going?
It's fine. It's, you know, it's...
They're not staying with you, are they?
No. I got them a hotel in Pasadena.
And I only say that, not that... it's just your place. Like,
it's tiny.
It's tiny for...
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, it's like it's, you know, it's your parents, and like I'm always afraid they're not going to do anything, so like I constantly am trying to get them to do stuff. My dad has like kind of a shitty leg too, so it's like he can't walk for very fast or for very long because his veins in that leg are kind of messed up.
You're going to shoot him?
It's going to take him out, put him to pasture. but it's it's, you know, it's been fun having them around. It was my mom's 60th birthday on Saturday.
I can't tell if you're being serious or like a little sarcastic.
No, you can hear the tone of his voice. He was delighted to have spent time with his parents, but
it's
tone of his voice is that he has no energy to continue this conversation.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, you know, being on and then like it's like, Like I showed my dad my, like, you know, the house that I bought a house, and it's like a huge thing to buy a house in Los Angeles. And he's like, yeah, this is pretty okay. And like, I was like, oh, that's better. It's a lot of money, and I worked really hard. He's like, yeah, this could work out. It's working out. It is working out.
You kind of want the reaction of like, oh my God, this is the first ray to buy a house in the mainland, and I can't believe that
it was a bit like, and then like I showed him like a, you know, the pilot, and like the first thing that he said afterwards was, oh, did you edit this? That's good. He's well edited.
Oh.
That's the only thing he said afterwards.
So what is it that you would want from him?
Yeah, this is very funny. Good job. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe he means that, but he just doesn't express it that way.
I think it's just one of those things where it's like the way Emily Gordon kind of broke it down. She says,
family
like,
counselor Emily Gordon.
Yeah. I think she said like it's like he's trying to impress you with thinking of other things to compliment.
Oh.
Of course he thinks you're a good performer. Of course he thinks everything's great, or that's like the house is great. He's trying to kind of be cool and think of other things to say.
I buy that.
Yeah.
Do you ever have to talk to him about it? It's kind of a difficult thing to say. Like,
well, yeah, I talked to him in the matter of just, I'm like, yeah, well, I didn't. I sat with the editor.
Well,
I made the choices. He's the one that did. I didn't sit down at the computer.
I would have just said, yep.
Yeah. There's a lot of different jobs in production, Dan. And no, I don't know.
So you didn't do anything.
Yeah. You know, but you're overly sensitive, and you want, you know, like, It's been great, but it's just one of those things where I'm just like, you know, I don't know if they listen to the podcast or not, so I'm not sure how much I want to talk about it or vent or anything like that.
Well, why don't you say, and then you'll find out.
Nah, you know, it's just normal, I think, parent stuff. I'm
just like, normal parent stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it just always reminds me of like when Kumail's dad came to town, and like Kumail like showed off his house to him. And like it's like, you know, it's a nice house in a great neighborhood. And his dad goes, I wonder how much it would have cost in a better neighborhood.
They live in a fine neighborhood. What are you talking about?
One of the highest priced neighborhoods on the east side. Like it's like, and you want to just be like, no, it's a good neighborhood. It's a great, you know, so it's, you know, but then all that, yeah, just like. And there was no end date to when they were saying, so it's like I'm not sure how to pace myself with
hanging. Oh, they're still here.
Yeah. They're going to be leaving on Wednesday. So it's been great having them around.
How long have they been in town for?
They got in Tuesday night.
Oh, nice.
I was really lucky with my – I mean, obviously, everyone's – like your parents just get on your nerves because they're your parents.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not – It's just that classic. You're like, just stop.
Just
get out of my space. Get out of my space. You know.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I was really lucky because my dad was always really, you know, he'd go, oh, I just think it's so wonderful what you're doing, and I'm so.
I get that a lot. I get that a lot from my dad too. He's like, he's very proud of this, you know, the stuff I do, and he's like very like always like quick to be like, man, you worked really hard, and you've come a long way. And then, like, and then he'll say something like, I wish I could have been more there for you. But what he means by that is, like, financially. I'm like, it's totally fine. Yeah. A lot of kids had it way worse than I did, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, it's like he gives me a lot of that. But then, like, you know, and then, like, but then he also, like, will follow it up with something that makes me cringe where it's just like, it's like, yeah, but, you know, just got to keep on working, right? And I'd be like, yeah, well, yeah, that's the plan is to continue to work. He's like, yeah, it's just but in your business, you never know if everything's going to drop out. I go, okay, I know that. But you know, I make more money than you ever did.
It's all
oh, shit.
It's funny watching your body language right now. You're just all like, you're just tightening up.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, you have to have this kind of you have to have this translation filter with your parents. When they say X, really they mean Y.
I think that's it. And I think we want more from them. We think about all the stuff. You know, it's easier to remember all the stuff they didn't give you emotionally or, you know, attention wise. And like, so when you see them, which is rare for anyone as an adult to see their parents, like, you know, unless they live in the same town, you see your mom very frequently.
Yeah.
But like, it's like, you know, all of a sudden you have like, last time I saw him was at my wedding. So it's like 2 years of like, you know, like, so when they say stuff, I want it to mean more and I want it to like, you know, I got to take what I can from it and try and construct what I feel I need from it. But it's
really
weird.
Well, my mom, who's the she's so wonderful and supportive and lovely and, you know, overprotective though. Like, she's overprotective of me. And if there is, I get so frustrated with her sometimes because she will find a way to create a seed of worry in my brain about that was not there before. I was like, yeah, you know, Lydia and I are going to go, you know, we're going to take a road trip. Oh, you got to be careful. You know, and I'm like, why are you putting that in my brain? She was like, because I'm your mother. And if I don't say it, then I'm not doing my job. You need to know. It's like, I can't not worry about you. I'm like, I know, but I fucking want it. You know,
you keep it to yourself.
Oh,
Mom.
My God. I got such a dumb argument with her one day. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to take an Uber from a thing. She was like, well, is that safe? And I go, what do you mean? Well, I mean, I just heard that it's, it's their driver. Like, it's fine.
It's a paper trail.
I'm doing okay. Like, I've gotten to this point.
I have some instincts.
Yeah, you've installed enough paranoia in my brain that I wouldn't.
And
just,
it's not like you're going to get an Uber X.
Wouldn't just hop into a car with a complete rando, like thumbing a ride, But in her mind, she just didn't understand. I was like, it's fine. And I got so flustered, like, as a, you know, just like 10-year-old you comes back and you're trying to argue, but the words don't come out. Yeah. So it's just like, it's just fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to be fine.
Yeah, the worst is when they're like, are you okay? You're like, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
that unsettles me for some reason. When people are like, are you okay? I don't know why it drives me so crazy. Because their intention is good.
Sure.
I want to make sure you're okay. Yeah, but it's just like, I don't know. I was until you asked me that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I never know. I'm fine. Well, you don't sound fine. Well, I know, but...
Now I don't because of you.
Damn it. I mean, a lot of those are our issues and not theirs.
Definitely.
You know, it's just... I don't know. I don't know what it is. I kind of wonder about that, the are you okay? Because I think it's... I think part of it is... You know, because a lot of times when someone asks that question, you're not necessarily 100% okay. And it almost feels... invasive that they know or that they're peering into you. It's like, just get out of my room. You know, like when someone says, are you okay? If you were like, get out of my room, I think they would totally understand.
Yeah. All right. Let me know. I'll be downstairs.
Yeah, it's my room too. Pay for this house.
This is my house.
my whole house.
Yeah. But I wonder just how much it would be if it was.
But I know that, you know, like. But I know that if Lydia were going somewhere and she were going alone, she'd be like, oh, I'm just going to take a cab. I would definitely say, are you sure? Are you okay? Yeah. I think the other thing about are you okay or are you sure is another thing that drives me crazy is when you say something to someone, you go, hey, I really want to do this. Are you sure?
Yeah,
I'm sure. I wouldn't have said it. You know, like,
no, because but to me, my reaction is always like, of course I'm not sure. I'm not sure about anything I fucking have ever done.
But I know that that's my issue of feeling of fear of being incompetent.
Yeah.
Of someone not trusting you when you say something.
Yep.
You know, and maybe, but it's not, it's so weird that how just simple, and they're very natural. They're very reasonable questions to ask.
Yeah, very much so.
Does that bother you?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Are you sure?
Oh, God. Maybe it does. Guys, what's happening?
Are you okay?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's got other landmines. That's,
yeah, yeah. We all got
triggers. I have other triggers, sure.
What's your trigger?
You want to eat that? Maybe I do. All right?
That's a loaded question. It's like, you want to eat that? You want to eat that?
I thought I did.
Don't eat that?
Like they're saying, like, come on, Toby. You really gonna?
Oh, you mean someone's done with their food and they're like, you're gonna finish?
No. I mean, like, if I'm like at the other day, I was at Craft Services and I was like, just grabbed a Hershey cocktail wieners, Hershey thing with an almond in it. You know, one of those like a little tiny
kiss
thing. Yeah, and
no, I mean, will you kiss me?
Zig goes, oh, you should probably lay off of those. And I was like,
oh, what the fuck?
Well, all right.
Oh yeah, I can understand. I was like, that what?
No, that would piss anybody off. I would fucking lose my shit or something. Better lay off of those. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself.
I was at the gym for an hour this morning.
Lay off of them. You're seeing me eating one. What do you assume about me, you bitch?
It really.
I guess that's one of Jonah's buttons too.
Really got.
Oh yeah, yeah. I remember. Like when I eat real fast, and I don't know why. I just have always eaten real fast. When I was like, you know, I was a real big kid and I finished my food and a waiter came by and says, whoa, somebody was hungry. And I was just like, ooh, and like it just stuck with me. I remember the moment.
You don't know me.
Yeah. I remember what I was eating too. It was like a tiny little like beef stew on rice thing. And like, in Hawaii, it was, and
how was it?
And Waikiki, it was fucking fantastic. That's why I ate it so fast. And then like, you know, when I was a kid, I was just like, oh yeah, kind of, I guess, you know, and then I was eating at a place.
I was kind of hungry. Oh, okay. Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, it was just fat coming out of your mouth.
Oh, God.
Sweating fat cells.
These are the fat from my tits.
You're crying stew. Do you have stew tears?
It's curry. It burns.
But then I was at a restaurant not too long ago, and I had like a salad with some chicken on it, and I was in a rush, and I ate it real fast, and the guy's like, he's like, wow, you really finished that fast. Someone must have been hungry. And I was like, hey, bro, real quick, don't say that to people. Don't say that to people, especially when they're just eating by themselves. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I was like, some people might have an issue with it. They don't want to be called out for eating fast because it you know, has this feeling of you're just calling them out for being fat. He's like, oh, well, I didn't mean that. I was like, but some people might. And one of those people is me. So don't fucking say that.
So what if he was
that?
Like, okay, great to see you take your time with that meal. Like, yeah, he just doesn't get it.
Just like, no, now you're saying I'm, yeah.
Here's a list of how to approach me.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, those are some triggers. You just don't say that to somebody.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Act like a bartender. Act like they don't have a problem.
You know, I try to go. Yeah. Just like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, a bartender would never go, well, another one, huh? They just go fucking coming right up.
I'll tell you, I have a trigger because, you know, we're such an alcohol-obsessed culture. Mm-hmm. And some people just can't fathom that you wouldn't be a part of it.
Yeah.
And so when you're at a restaurant, they're like, it's usually kind of like a suave waiter. Yeah. Like, oh, here's the wine list to go. We're not going to drink anything. Are you sure?
Yeah.
I usually just look them in the eye and go, I'm a recovering alcoholic and I don't drink. Yeah. And that just shuts them down immediately because I hate the dance of like, I mean, are you sure you don't want? It's like, yeah, I'm sure. I can't.
Because you don't want to have fun tonight. Yeah, it's the same thing with after a meal. It's like, should I show you guys a dessert menu? No. You might want to check out the brownie, but go fuck yourself. I said no. I'm only strong enough to say no once to brownie bites.
If you keep pressuring me, I'm going to give in. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Please stop.
I just said no to the booze. That makes me think I can have the brownie.
You almost want
to
start crying and go, please stop, I beg you. You don't know what you're doing.
You don't know. I'll take this half of the menu. I'm kidding. The other half.
It's in too close to the fire, Kimasabi.
I sent the fries away at lunch the other day. I was just fucking this huge cone of fries. When did fries start being coned? Everyone serves them in a cone.
I don't know, Andy Rooney.
Like wrapped in paper in a cone thing. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So I guess
keep them upright.
I order a burger and a fry. I'd just come from the gym and I went to the Gordon Ramsay Burger. And they bring out this fucking giant, it had to be a foot tall of French fries. And I took it down to till it was level.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it was probably like 12 fries.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there. And then I tell the waitress, I was like, I'm all done. She's like, okay. And I was like, you can take the fries. She's like, you want me to take the fries? I'm like, yes, I'm one person and I want you to take the fries.
Yeah.
You sure you're not
going to
eat them?
I'm going to eat them all if they don't leave my face.
Yeah. I remember one time being at a place and like I ate the fries real fast. I was starving, and they were like, "Want to refill on those fries?" And I was like, "What's that supposed to mean?" And then they're like, "Oh, we have like unlimited fries."
Get out of my face! That's almost the Michael Jackson Thriller. Go away!
Yeah.
Lay off of me! I'm starving.
Oh, Farley.
It is a bummer. It is a bummer that people don't know your buttons.
Yeah,
you know, it's not their fault. They're just doing their job, or they're just trying to, you know, whatever. Most people aren't bothered by these things, but
yeah, I have weird buttons that just things I don't even know are triggers that just someone will say something to me, and I'll be like, oh, that's one, and I can't offhand like think of any.
For me, repeating information that like for some reason, and I know I have an issue with it, repeating myself. I know I have a hard time doing it, especially over the phone. But like after the second time, it's like blah, 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 blah. And I know I mumble and I shouldn't realize it, but like a blah, blah, blah. What's that? Blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry. One more. I go, ah, never mind. Like, it's like, yeah. I can't, like, if
I got that from my dad for sure. My dad hated having to repeat himself, but he would anyway. I definitely got that from got that from him. I'm trying to be better about it. I hate when people assign emotions to you when they don't know you and they're like, why do you seem X? And you're like, you don't know me. How can you say you don't know what I seem like because you have nothing to compare it to.
Yeah. I still have trouble being totally cool with my brother's girlfriend because the first time I met her, like I was like feeling kind of sick and it was right before the Meltdown show was about to start. Like it's like I was in the back room and Adam's like, you know, kind of comes in and he's like, oh, this is my girlfriend, Simone. And I was like, oh, hey, I'm sorry. About to go on. I don't feel too good. And she's like, yeah, you look like shit.
Oh, I hate that one.
And I'm like, hey, I'm about to go and stand in front of about 100 people. I don't need to be told I look like shit. I don't need to be in my head that way. Just back off.
Yeah, that's
I can't get that out of my head.
You look like shit, or like shit. When someone going like, you look tired, bro. Like, I can't do anything about that.
I can't do anything about that.
People want to help. It's definitely...
You could have a nice coffee.
It's definitely control. I think there's definitely control issues. But I also think... kind of fuck those people for saying that stuff because I think they're also trying to control the situation by telling you what they think of with their limited information.
Sure.
You know, you can't, if you don't know someone, I mean, like I can tell you as one of your best friends, oh, are you okay? You look like you, and I don't think you would feel like,
no, none of us would.
Yeah. But when people don't know you and they're like, you feel this, you look like this, you're doing this. Like, I don't, why are you? I can't.
You just want to respond with, you don't know me.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
You don't know me. Yeah, I don't know how to.
And then secretly tears up.
Yes, they do.
They know me better than anybody. They can see my soul. They can see the black tar that goes through my
veins. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Do we seem like dicks?
I think we do.
Yeah.
I think
people just be like, what are they? I mean, I'm not like that all the time. Yeah. It just happens occasionally. Well, but
especially for me, I'm sure they think I just shit on my parents, and then like now we're talking about this, right?
I don't think you shat on your parents in a way that made it seem ungrateful. I think it was the same kind of thing that every kid had, every issue that they had with their parents. You're sure, right. But you know, and the crazy fucked up irony of the universe is that all the things that drive you crazy about your parents, well, not all, but most of the things that drive you crazy about your parents are the things you will miss when they're not around anymore.
Yeah, like, it is weird to like complain about my parents, like, you know, because you...
Oh,
like,
it doesn't bother me. I don't feel like, you son of a bitch, you're lucky they're still on this earth.
You know what's great, Jonah? Having a dad, right?
Yeah. I don't feel comfortable stretching your hand.
Sure wish my dad was around and I'd appreciate my home. That'd be great. That'd be great. Fucking amazing.
Wait, I think
you twat.
I wish he was around to shit on me, make me feel less than.
Yeah.
I feel like your dad was around when you bought that house.
He was, my dad, but he never, I was bummed that he never made it out to the house.
Yeah.
He never made it out to the house. I always wanted to
be glad he didn't. Initially.
It
was just a sad, empty place.
It was a sad, empty house.
That's true.
Yeah. You just would have heard his voice.
Oh, another empty floor, huh, Chris? Well,
how about that?
Wow. This whole floor
gonna get some
empty?
Furniture?
There's another thing that happened. My mom's phone is dying, and they're like, I was like, do you have a charge cord?
Like my dad?
Yeah.
Fucking son of a bitch.
Sorry. And then, like, I run into
my phone's going to come back.
Yeah.
We can recharge that.
Yeah, you can recharge that. But like I just grabbed a cord. I was like, oh, cool, like a white phone cord, and I brought it in the car. And my dad's like, oh, they only had white. Like, just like, what is up with that fucking question? No, I'm like, no, Dad, they had red, blue, pink, yellow, purple, black, and red. But I got white because I chose it.
Did you say that to him?
I did.
You know, it's. There, I can have conversations out loud of filling in the parts of my dad, knowing how he would react in certain situations. And now it's comforting, and it's really nice because we talked about this a lot when my dad was on the podcast. But my grandfather, my dad's dad, was such a fucking dick to him. I mean, like we complain about semantics.
Yes,
you know, like we complain about. it's not that they're saying anything bad. We're reading all this other stuff into it because they touch issues that we have in ourselves.
Yes.
It's really – that's more about us than it is about them.
Oh, completely.
My grandfather was such an asshole to my dad.
So it really was him.
It really was. it was totally Hubert. His name was Hubert. And Hubert
Hardwick.
You really are from the South.
Hubert Allen Hardwick. H.A. People called him H.A. Ha. Yeah. They called him H.A. And so my great-grandfather was R.E., which was Rufus Ellington, I think was his name. Mm. It was a very fancy name for a guy who basically was a hillbilly who made moonshine in a washer and dryer.
No fucking way.
It's absolute fucking way.
That's rad.
They The grandkids gave him a washer dryer and he used it as a still. So he lived to like 97. Like he lived
sure,
forever.
He pickled himself.
He did. So but Hubert would always find a way, no matter what, my dad to like just jab him and get under his skin. And I think it's because, you know, my grandfather was a very ornery man, but he was very responsible. Like he put food on the table.
Yeah.
He liked to go to the track a lot, but I don't think it ever compromised the family.
Yeah.
You know, he fulfilled his obligations and yeah. responsibilities.
The power was on.
Yeah.
The kids were clothed. Yeah. Food on the table.
There was a lot of function and not form in that relationship. And so my dad would say things to him. My grandfather would just like sucker punch him with just something in it. And my dad was never prepared for it. And it fucking pissed him off until the day until my grandfather was basically emotionally neutered by Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
But before that, you know, I think my dad was opening the bowling center. He was like, so, I think I'm gonna open a bowling center. My grandfather was like, what the hell you know about opening a business? You're too fucking stupid to run a business.
Jesus.
My dad would be like, God damn it. Like, every time. Get him. And my grandfather had this very, like, you know, like he just kind of had this nonchalant, like, what do you know about running a business? You're too fucking stupid. Like, he would sit there in his recliner. My grandfather, like, retired in his 50s. And the day he retired, in his pajamas at 4 p.m. every day.
Damn.
In a recliner.
That's the life, huh, guys?
It's not the life. You fucking go crazy. How could you not go crazy?
Yeah,
how could you not go crazy?
My dad doesn't drink or smoke weed or do any kind of drugs anymore, but he is now addicted to General Hospital. He's been having a real hard time not watching General Hospital. It's been so like, he's like, I gotta... Go tune in. Like, my mom doesn't even watch soap operas anymore.
Well, why couldn't your dad watch General Hospital, like, in the hotel? Because you guys were running around doing
stuff. Yeah, because I was trying to get him out of the fucking...
Also, you know, you could show him the ABC iPad app. That'll get him General Hospital.
I was the most condescending to my dad. When it's like, he called me, he's like, yeah, so we're coming in tomorrow night. And he does this thing. He's like, I always call it, like, I was just explaining to Katie. It's like a, you know, a hussy Jew, that can't ask you to turn off something, but is like explaining everything around it, hoping that you can turn off an electronic after, you know, SAP. So it's like, he's like, I don't know. Like, I guess I could get a rental car or,
You're like, I know what you're beating around.
I know. I'm like, do you want me to come pick you up? Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, just like, I'm like, well, why don't you just rent a car? It's like, well, so do I just get it when I'm there? I'm like, what? No, you can use a computer. What the fuck happened? What was it? I really think it's like he was probably better off stoned and tweaked out on cocaine and drinking. It's like he's just confused about things now. He used to handle shit.
Is he doing it on purpose to sort of passive aggressively get you to do it for him?
Maybe.
You know, I didn't realize my dad, and it wasn't until the last year that he was alive that finally one day he just broke because he couldn't take it anymore. And for years I had no idea what he was doing. But he'd go, he was like, I could probably come out there at some point, you know, this summer. And I would go, okay, you know. And then finally one day he broke and he was like, God damn it, I'm waiting for you to say yes, I want you to come out. Oh, I am the world's biggest fisherman. I want you to say, oh, I would love to have you come out. I absolutely... You know, like, basically me making a big deal. Like, all this time he was just poking around. But I think because you know, a lot of us just assume like our parents are, they got it covered. They don't need that shit. And of course he needed that stuff. So I was doing it to him without realizing, you know, like he, all these times, and I think back to all these times he would nudge me and I'd be like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
Let me know.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Let me know.
Yeah. And it was really, the one day he just couldn't take it anymore. I'm waiting for you to say.
Yeah. Yeah, what I ended up doing, like, he's like, how do I get directions to your house? I was like, well, you know that phone you're holding in your hand to talk to me right now? It's also a computer. Pull up the maps. There's a maps application, and you put in my address. I gave it to you and before. And you can put that, and it will give you street by street. He's like, oh, okay. Somebody I got that on my phone. I'm like, oh, God, Dad. I was being the most condescending shit to you ever. Just now. Just these past 15 seconds, I was being the worst.
Oh, my God. Now, what do you think would happen if you just said, yeah, yeah, it's on your phone? Are you emotionally capable of just of not going into snotty son mode?
I don't know. No, it's just because I think it's the repeating thing. I go, yeah, you can just look it up on, you can just, you know, use your phone. Oh, I can. Yeah, yeah, it's just, you have a like a maps application. It just comes on, I get it on my phone, comes on all the phones. It's like I you know, I explained it in a sped up version, but this is the like lead up to it. Yeah. And then I put what? Yeah, I'm like, you dumb Hawaiian. Oh. So what then? And then you just, it will tell you where to go. Like, talk to me. And then we're driving around and I'm using like the Waze. He's like, oh, listen to that. Coming through the speakers. Oh, gee. Got him. L.A.
maybe it's his way of just wanting to communicate with you more.
I don't know. It's awesome. And it's just like, you know, he's getting better at not being like racist. That I like that about him.
What do you mean he's getting better at not being?
He just doesn't care. Like in Hawaii, it's like everyone's racist. And so it's like when you're there, it's just kind of like, oh, you know, that Japanese guy, or, you know, Chinese person crowded me. It's like, it's just in Hawaii, there's so many races and they're all so close together and they're all kind of mixed up that everyone just kind of stereotypes and makes fun of
takes little
everybody.
Jabs at each other.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the way it is.
You
just
described the reason for racism being the reason there probably shouldn't be racism.
No. It's
there's
like,
so many races together. Of course they're racist.
Well, no. What they you know, the way that Hawaiians describe it is that, like, you know, it's a melting pot, but like it lets off the steam in a comical way. They always, like, you know, Hawaiian comedy is very much just like, you know, hold the dumb Portuguese guy and the, you know, the aggressive Samoan dude and the moke and the, you know, like, in the Jap and the, you know, puck puck and all that, you know, shit like that.
Yeah.
It's all very just racist.
Puck, yeah.
Puck. Yeah. And so it's just, you know, that's the way my dad was raised. That's just how it is. You know, he's a dumb Portuguese because he's Portuguese. You know, it's like stuff like that. My mom's like a talkative howly.
Well, the way that you describe me is kind of a dumb Portuguese.
Yeah. Ugh. but then he comes out here and, like, you know, he'll just be like, you know, like, he'll just say, oh, like the Mexican guy. Like, it's just like, just like, Dad, it's different out here. It's different.
You can't put everyone into a box.
Yeah, we don't do that.
We don't do that.
Kid. Yeah.
Please don't do that.
Yeah.
Out loud.
Especially in this town, there's been riots.
Yeah.
And like, I think he knows that it gets on my nerves. And it's like he tried to describe a gay guy as he's like, you know, he was a flame. And I was like, Dad. I was like, Dad, you mean he was a homosexual? He was gay? He's like, oh, I'm not trying to be offensive. Like, he thought saying flame was like a nicer way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, call him gay, Dad.
Racism. I enjoy
it. Yeah. That's just bigotry. This has been great. This is a lot. It's real relaxing.
Things good with your parents?
Yeah, I just had a long talk with them. My dad's birthday is 314.
So good.
He's a Pi Day guy.
My mom.
Well, there you
314.
Go. My God, we have a lot of Portuguese connections.
Tonight on Portuguese Connections.
Yeah, so I talked to him on the way home. I was driving home from Vegas. I was supposed to stay another night, but I had it was the worst trip I ever had in my life.
Why?
I was awful.
What? Why did you go to Vegas?
Well, it was my buddy Brian's birthday party. It was Saturday night. So I drove out. The plan was, you know, he said this like 4 weeks ago, I was going to come out there and we were going to, you know, hang out, have a birthday party, the whole thing, whatever. And I was like, oh, Dory, do you want to come out to go to this thing? And she's like, well, we have all those appointments for all those wedding venues the weekend after. She's like, I don't want to go to Vegas 2 weekends in a row.
Yeah, because she's a sane.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I said, well, she's like, well, I could move the appointments to this weekend. I was like, well, I don't want to do that because, like, what if there's, like, daytime birthday stuff that I have to do or whatever? And so she's like, all right. So I'll drive by myself. So after work, I drove out to Vegas, got there, started playing. Very quickly was down a lot.
What were you playing, roulette?
Yeah, yeah. I got it back up, and then I could have just walked away, but I didn't. So then my friend Q texts me. He's like, hey, I'm going to this. I got to go to this gala. It's a work thing, but right after that, let's hang out. And then there's this club opening that I'm probably not going to go to. I was like, me either. Great. Then he's texts me. He's like, I don't know what's going on. I think I'm getting really sick. And I was like, well, all right. I'll just see you in the morning. I got to wake up early. I had a training. I was training at 7 a.m. in Vegas.
With John Moretti?
Yeah, with Moretti.
Nice.
It was great.
He's awesome.
I've never gotten to meet him.
He's fantastic. Great.
Yeah, yeah. I've only heard like story after story about him.
Yeah. He's great. I'm training with him next weekend, too.
Oh, rad. Perfect.
So then he was like, well, let me come say hi to you real quick. And then so I started playing more. I started losing more money. And then he texts me again. He's like, I'm way too sick. I'm just going. I literally have to just go to the bed. So I go out to train in the morning. And then I thought he was work. I felt like he had a shoot in the morning or something like that. So I didn't even think to contact him. And I went to the bank to take out more money to lose. And then I just started walking by myself. I was like, well, I don't know if anyone's up yet. It's like 11 a.m. I'll start walking, and I walk. I went and got a burger by myself, and then I was like, oh, I just had a burger. I should probably walk this off. So then I proceeded to lose money at every casino on the strip.
I got
to
lose weight in all kinds of ways.
Down to the win. So
ironic, ironic.
I went down, and then so as I was finishing up my meal, I got a text from Q that's like, I'm twice as bad as I was yesterday. The room is spinning. This is the worst timing.
Food poisoning?
I don't know what he had. I actually should text him today.
Haven't heard from him since. I think he's okay.
Well, he was like, I'm stuck in the room. So
was it his birthday that you were there for?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, so the birthday guy. Were there other people there? Or was it just the two of you?
Yeah, well, it was Q and like a bunch of the guys. They're the Impractical Jokers guys. And they're all somehow friendly with Joey Fatone, who is in Rock of Ages.
Oh, nice.
At the Venetian. So their big plan for the night was after dinner, they all go see Rock of Ages. And I had no interest in that.
Because I wasn't in it.
Once Hardwick was out of that, I'm not going to watch it. But once Q was like down for the count, I literally drove down there to see him because he lives in Staten Island. I never see him. So, and in the morning, in the gym, in the sauna, I dropped my watch and cracked the crystal, which I had just replaced for $700.
Oh.
And I had another night booked at the Aria, and then at about...
Real quick, I just want to say, you, Matt Myra, just said, I was in the sauna, my watch slipped off my hand. I cracked a crystal that I already just replaced for $700.
I mean, isn't there a poor person nearby who could fix it?
It is a ridiculous...
When did you become Natasha Leggero's character?
I think right out of college. But then it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was supposed to stay another night, and I just was like, what the fuck am I going to do? Am I going to take more money out of the ATM and then lose it? And I was like, whatever. The room's already paid for. I don't need it.
Well,
and then I just drove back, and I got back to L.A. at 9 o'clock, and then Dory and I watched some House Hunters, and I fucking fixed a guitar, changed a bunch of strings. The next morning was great. I planted a vegetable garden. I did all this like home stuff that I'd been meaning to do, and then I was just like, that was, what the fuck was that trip?
Well, Q is nothing without you.
No, listen,
Q and not you.
But it was insane. It was just the only person I talked to that I knew out there in person was Moretti.
Wow.
So you went out
there. Oh, you didn't see any of the guys.
I didn't see any of them because they were working in the morning when I was there. And then by the time I...
Maybe it was part of an impractical joke.
By the time oh, that would have been real funny. But then by the time by the time they texted me, they were at the... I was down at the Wynn and then I was like... I was just done. I was like, I'm done with this place. And I just...
Now you got to go back.
I'm going back on Friday.
How fun. But you're going with Dory.
Yeah. Yes, it's going to be so much better.
Yeah, of course.
She keeps me in check. She tells me when to not do that, and that's what I need.
That's good.
God. So, yeah, whatever. So we'll figure out. We got a bunch of appointments. Looking at some wedding venues. Should be fun.
Wedding bells are going to ring.
Did you announce that to people? Do people know?
No.
Yeah, people, you said it on Instagram.
Yeah, Saturday, while I was bored alone at lunch, I was like, oh, where's Dory? I was like, oh, find a picture of us and then post it. Which was funny, because then I started getting texts from people, and I was like, oh my God, I haven't really told anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Top 10 ways Matt Myra could have proposed to Dory Shafrir.
Oh. But yeah, it's good. And now she's changing her work schedule. She's going to be going in at 8 o'clock in the morning and being home by 4. That's pretty cool.
What's her schedule now?
She goes in at like 10 to 6 because that's what time the BuzzFeed office out here works. But All her direct reports are in New York. So she's like, I'm answering emails at home at 7:30 in the morning anyway.
Might as well go into the office.
Yep.
Yeah, might as well.
Be home early.
Well, congratulations.
Very happy for you.
Thank you.
Of course we knew about this.
Yeah.
It's not really our place to tell anyone.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's great. I'm thrilled. Looking forward to it. Hope to get a dog and a house and all that stuff.
Very excited for your Mickey Bond themed wedding.
Yeah.
Where the double O's are the ears of Mickey Mouse.
That is adorable.
Thank you, guys. It's going to be... We're getting married at Ian Fleming's GoldenEye. God, I wonder if a night at GoldenEye is $10,000, how much do you think a wedding would cost there?
I don't know.
Do you know how much a wedding costs at Hearst Castle?
Doesn't matter to me.
Free.
You know, that's how much it costs. It's free.
Bingo, bingo.
Someone's got to pay for the staff.
The estate, Matthew. Are you kidding me?
How much does it cost? Hey, Lydia, let's go there. Okay. That's how much that costs.
That's great. How much that costs.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know if that's the actual mechanics of it. Yeah.
Family and friends discount.
Maybe. Maybe.
Lydia,
yeah,
Hearst,
no,
and what's your lineage? Great-granddaughter? Great-granddaughter. Ah, yes, here you are. There's a wait.
We can give you 5% off.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. How much does it cost to get married to Hearst Castle?
I think it's like just for the base wedding, I think it's $50,000. Just the base day.
You know, as far as places running out for weddings, that's not that bad.
It really isn't that bad. But that's
yeah, like, but that doesn't include
anything.
Anything.
Oh, yeah, but...
So how much was your wedding?
We spent $7,000.
Great.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
All everything.
It was a great fun wedding.
And it was a great wedding.
It was a great wedding.
It was a great wedding.
Yeah.
Don't, I mean, just someone figure that out. Tell Dory that that's how much it cost you.
Yeah. No, it's like since our wedding, like a lot of people go like, what did you guys do? How much did it cost? Like, why did it get so cheap? And then you realize, when, like, you know, I talked about it before. Once you start breaking down the things you need for a wedding and then you realize it's nothing. A wedding can easily just be signing a piece of paper after talking to a judge.
Yep.
Ask Robert Durst.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how he married his current wife.
Yeah. But like, it's like, you don't need anything. So like you go, well, fucking groomsmen, bridesmaids, and they're like, why do I need that?
Yeah.
Like fucking hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
But we're doing. I mean, definitely.
Well, there goes us, Chris.
Definitely open bar. Then.
What?
Definitely an open bar, so I'll see you there. Chris will have plenty of sparkling water. So
you sure you don't want any of this? Because I'm sure. I don't need this to have a good time.
Like, I'm the only one that wouldn't like...
You're the only one in this room.
Scout, maybe? Scout's drunk all the time, and we know it. This dog is high or on drugs or something.
Oh, but yeah, we looked at the Los Angeles Athletic Club.
What?
We looked at the LA Athletic Club. You ever
been
there?
That's very nice. I've gone to a wedding there.
Yeah, it's really nice. And then we're looking at a bunch of Vegas places next weekend.
Also went to one at the Museum of Natural History.
Yeah, we looked at that. That's a little pricey.
Yeah, it's very pricey. I went to have a birthday party there, and I was like, I don't know if I want to spend $15,000 on
but they walk their dinosaurs through. They have the people in the
I'm
dinosaur.
I'm sorry, do they open the door, get on the floor, and then everybody walks the dinosaur?
Yeah.
That was beautiful. That was fantastic.
That was great.
What? I wish that I had it in me to laugh at that, but just really, that was gorgeous. I was
Thank
just
you.
In awe of it
I
coming out of your mouth.
Your validation with words.
I made the sound that people make when they find something funny.
So did you edit it?
That one was worth laughing at.
So your wedding's going to be later in the year.
In the fall, probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're scheduling it around the Fun Comfortable Tour.
Very excited. I'm sorry. By the way. I appreciate that. It's very difficult.
We don't need another episode of this podcast where we guilt Chris into coming to one of our weddings.
I came to John, but I will definitely be. I told you.
Yeah, but it boned you. Like you got in trouble.
What?
With Moon Tower.
Oh, because I had to get back for the wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right.
You haven't been asked back.
Well, I don't think that's true.
I don't know. I made that up.
Yeah, this is my first time not at South by Southwest since 2007.
It's kind of nice not being there because it's so crowded.
I like it so much.
I know it's fun, but it's also like the you know it. It's so many people.
It is a lot of people.
But I miss it. But it was also kind of a relief. I mean, I had to go to St. Louis, but yeah.
South by is fun. I haven't been in a couple of years. I wish we could go.
It's like my favorite thing, and it's weird not being there, seeing all the pictures.
Why don't we just do a show from there?
Jimmy Kimmel's doing one this year from there.
It's not as easy as just do a show there because there are no venues available. And we did have – Nerdist did have a space there. We had a space there with Geek & Sundry.
Can't charge.
But I also had a show in St. Louis. And it's hard to move dates because the venues have limited availabilities because obviously mm-hmm. other people come in. And so yeah. there are – If I don't perform somewhere, then it's like, oh, well, it could be another year
before. Well, let's just do our own festival there. We'll call it Nerd by Nerd Fest.
Okay, Nerd by Nerd Fest.
And then that's all I got so far.
Okay, yeah. All right, good. Well, the name is good.
Nerdist, Geek & Sundry. Meet Will Wheaton. He'll be playing card games.
You're making
card
a lot
games.
Of promises for people that we haven't spoken to yet.
Now you know for a fact that people are just going to tweet about this to us every day until next year.
Nerd by Nerd Fest.
And it'll be NXNF.
Yeah. I experienced a little bit of Hot Pockets syndrome.
Oh, for which one?
It was just...
You started eating Hot Pockets.
No. Oh, God, I loved Hot Pockets. When I was
people screaming out Zatarain's?
No, it's...
people screaming out Zatarain's! You know, the classic from 2 weeks ago.
Hey, every day I get tweets at me.
Well, you're not
wrong. I said... I referred to a character on The Walking Dead. There's a new character, and he was drunk, and it was dark on his porch, and he shouted. He kind of postured...
Oh, Porch Dick.
Porch Dick.
Yeah, yeah.
People have been tweeting Porch Dick at me for... 8 days straight.
Jesus.
And then on the last episode, Abraham's character says Mother Dick because they obviously can't say motherfucker on the show. And so then Mother Dick became it's so funny the things that you just casually like, oh, this just it's the same as any other thing I say, but for some reason
catches the current.
People are just like rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
So now I have that to look forward to for the rest of my life. It's people shouting
well, I have
Dick
people
at me,
which is fun. Still tweeting Chappie at me every day.
Chappie. Did you actually see Chappie?
No, God no.
Why not?
I bet see that people, piece of shit.
You know, if
and
I'm social
proud
media
to
was
be
around,
a Chap American.
If social media was around when like Short Circuit was coming out, I think people would be like making fun of it and saying, I can't believe people are going to see it. But like it's for some reason heralded as like a very classic weird movie.
Is it heralded?
It's people that still talk about it to this day.
Well,
we're talking
Johnny
about
Five.
It.
That was a sensation.
Oh, you're talking about Short Circuit. Not
that's why I said Short Circuit.
I thought you were talking about Chappie being.
Well, no,
heralded.
But like who's to say that it's not like going to turn into the same
because
thing?
Because I think the thing was the tongue in cheekness of a Short Circuit. You know
there seems
I mean?
To be a ton of that with Chappie,
but it's
no, not from the movie itself.
I think part of the problem
your glasses are shaking, Jonah.
No, I think you're the one who's shaking.
I think part of the problem is that it's because of Short Circuit and RoboCop, like the two main thematic mechanisms of those films look like they were mashed up to make Chappie. Now, that may not be the case. I didn't see it. But that's what the trailers led us to believe.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm still looking forward to Neil Blomkamp's Alien.
But wait, how is it like RoboCop?
Because there's a whole because they're basically like police robots.
No, Johnny Five was a
Johnny
war
Five
robot.
Was a war robot. Yeah, yeah. But
and
I
then
think
he got hit by lightning.
Well,
and then turned into a bodacious dude.
Yeah, but also I think there's,
he's a party dude. He loves pizza. Hangs out with Splinter.
There's the intelligence struggle. I think the RoboCop aspect of it, whereas RoboCop is Murphy, but his brain is completely wiped. Do you know what I mean?
So there's an existential crisis.
That, so there's like this whole thing.
Does Chappie have that? Was Chappie a dude?
No, he wasn't a dude. But there is the whole AI question. You know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah.
And then there's in the trailer, there's sort of a like. We can't let the machines take, you know.
A little bit of that. So the Terminator, more so
Terminator
than RoboCop.
Too. A little Terminator. But maybe Chappie was great. I don't know.
Remember when Los Locos got
make an appearance?
The Los Locos could go ass into outer space. But remember when they gold-plated him at the end of that movie?
Yeah, that's when he got a key to the city.
That was pretty rad. And citizenship.
Yeah.
He became a citizen.
Yeah.
Johnny Five. He's probably still alive.
Who's Johnny?
And laughs in a special way. Here's Johnny. He says, "You know I love him."
I think we should just put Chappie in where he says Johnny.
Wait, was this song about Johnny Five, or did they just use it?
Yeah.
Who is Chappie?
Who is Chappie?
I think it works.
And D-N-Word would have to do this new version, right?
Of the bars, the Bruno Mars of his day.
No, Zeph.
You know what?
Actually, video actually, takes place in a courtroom?
I actually like this song, unironically.
It's a great song.
No, there's nothing wrong with the song.
That's in the Weird Al version.
In the Weird Al version, yeah.
With Johnny, Doc, and Ed.
Ed McMahon's his name.
Well, you know, so yeah, so she pulls out a VHS tape of Short Circuit and puts it in, and I think this is where we see footage of the
movie. That's just other robots.
I really liked Ally Sheedy.
Yep.
You can still like her.
No, I mean, I meant back then, I've liked her since back then.
You know what I forgot? That Sting did an original song for Demolition Man.
Oh, yeah.
With a demolition man. I completely forgot about that. It was on TV the other day. I forgot how funny it is and how intentionally funny it is.
I was watching that the other day as well.
Yeah.
I forget what channel it was on, but yeah.
It's like, it's just joke after joke, the entire thing.
Yeah, but
it's like Taco Bell. You go take me to Taco Bell. I was like, well, yeah, after the franchise wars, Taco Bell was the only one. It's like everything's played so straight to like this guy, you know. It's just as funny as Austin Powers.
You get to see our 5750 Wilshire over there. Remember that?
That's right.
Yeah.
And Dennis Leary, like anytime he talks, it's like one of his monologues straight from his.
Yeah.
I want to smoke cigarettes. I want to eat burgers. I want to.
Oh, yeah. The underground people. Yeah. Like all the underground people.
Oh, you know what I found out? The karaoke book at All Star Lanes has Asshole by Dennis Leary.
Oh, really?
So I think I might have to do that next time.
I feel
I'm
like
there.
That's in a lot of karaoke books.
I've never noticed it.
I feel like karaoke now like should just have access to every song in the history
they
of humanity.
They should!
With the... This is Demolition Man. Sting kind of looking like a little Synchronicity 2.
Is Sting in the movie at all?
No.
In a cameo? No.
First, it's a lot of Sting looking sweaty.
Now, Sting, is that...
Dream away, away, away.
Is Sting maybe the guy, the musician that's gone from the coolest to the uncoolest?
I don't think he's uncool.
No, I don't think he's uncool yet.
Really?
I don't think he's really...
He plays shitty world music.
Yeah, yeah, but... Anytime he wants to, he can just call up Stu Copeland and Andy and go, hey, let's do another tour. And then all of a sudden, it's the coolest thing ever.
And he can play pretty much everything.
Yeah, no, he can. Yeah, I guess so. I guess he is cooler than Billy Idol, who's been doing, like, who basically stayed. If Sting stayed punk, he would have been Billy Idol.
Yeah, Billy Idol's rad, too. They can both be rad.
I'm trying to think of who that is, though. Who has fallen off the planet
like
that?
The most? I don't know. I'm trying to think. You might be right. You're being so accepting
who's
right now.
Falling
it's really
off the table.
Making me sound like a dick.
Well, you have a lot of problems. I mean, you hate your parents. And
what?
There was the Euclid years for Vetter. That was pretty
I don't mind those Euclid years.
That was pretty hard to go through.
I like
me.
The ukulele years.
Let's see. Who else?
The album is great.
Who else?
We don't have to keep talking.
Sammy Hagar? I feel like he was awesome. Still awesome. Cabo Wabo, guys.
Yeah, I guess this is just going to lead us down a weird path.
Yeah. You know what? Why don't you talk about it on Jonah Radio?
Yeah, that's true.
Tonight on Jonah Radio, we take apart Demolition Man. Yeah. Sting's going to make an appearance. Is he cool or not? We'll give you all the deets in just a minute. I'm Jonah Ray, and welcome to Jonah Radio.
Yes.
Ba-ba-ba-boom. Ba-ba-ba-boom. Yeah. Getting the hits, making them fresh. Jonah Ray Radio. Whoa. Jonah Radio. Whoa. Jonah Radio. Whoa.
My dad listened to an episode of Jonah Radio and got upset that I was shitting on the Doors so much.
Well, you're right, too.
Yeah, he was like, you got to understand, at the time, it was pretty progressive.
My dad.
You were on so many drugs back then.
Yeah. He's like, people, like, you know, really, you know, care about them a lot. I was like, yeah, but people love shitty things. It's fine.
Speaking of Doors, there's mine. Walk through it. Get out.
Boom. Hardwick with the win.
Yeah.
Poinch.
Matt Myra with the Poinch. Steve win.
Poinch.
Poinch. Poinch.
Poinch. Are you making fun of the way I used to talk?
No, we are.
You wouldn't have said it that way. Point.
Surely something else.
I don't know what that was.
No.
Yeah, what was that? This Did is you have like a retainer in?
Points. Glug, glug, glug.
No, because I wasn't.
I'd actually like some more beer.
Look, I can't help that I said glug as I was drinking.
Yeah, it was impressive, if anything.
Glug, 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 glug.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
You too.
You're both quality gentlemen.
As are you.
You don't have to feel bad about, you know, you obviously love your parents, and sometimes family can...
Just get on your nerves.
You get on your nerves a little bit, because it's the same shit over and over and over again. But we love them.
Yeah.
And love the fact that my mom has 11,000 followers on Twitter now that she thinks are all her children.
Yeah.
So
it's, that takes pressure off of you, huh?
What?
Kind of takes the pressure off of you.
Yeah, it kind of does. Mom, what are you talking about? You have a brood.
11,000 of them. Anytime. All right, guys.
Enjoy your marino.
Don't mess around with a demolition man. Enjoy Marino as a demolition man.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.